Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
You know, I'm going to spoil Twin Peaks for you. The return.
Spoiler alert!
I got to spoil it because I need to say this.
Didn't this come out like a year ago?
I need to say this. It did. That's why people have had a chance to watch.
Let me guess. They're big.
No.
It's too soon, bro.
It's like Bizarro Jerry.
Hey, first of all, I'm just happy to have my voice back after I couldn't even work on Friday night because I sounded like a really bad Super Dave Osborne. But
You did a little extra work and it came back to bite you, I think.
Yeah, that was a tough morning on Dan Patrick.
It might have been the hex I put on you.
It was like Doc Rivers and Super Dave Osborne had a kid and they turned the volume all the way down.
Well,
it was really difficult.
You know, no man left behind, Smith.
It was tough.
Otherwise, it comes back on you.
It was tough.
I mean, have you learned nothing?
But Twin Peaks, The Return, ends with one of the main character, you know, something happens at the end, and yeah. I won't tell you how it ends, but something happens at the end.
We want to know. And
the motorboat, right?
And there's it's a big motorboat. And there's a song.
And they speed away.
And there's the roadhouse. and it ends with one of the characters not knowing what's going on, and he stops and he says, "What year is this?" And that's how it ends. And it's pretty awesome. Like, he doesn't, like, now they've traveled through time. What year is this?
Okay.
Eli Manning is carving up the Eagles on Monday Night Football. Spygate is back in the news. What year is this? What year is this? Eli, what else do we need? Eli, Spygate, the Knicks suck. I mean, there's so many things. We could just write in, right?
I mean, you weren't even around to talk about Fizdale.
No.
And the fact that 48 hours later, they finally put out a press release.
I know.
Then, he could have been an Antarctica with Rob Parker by that point.
Jerry Jones says BS on the radio, and David Fizdale is fired, and I had no voice.
Right. The Jerry Jones story was fantastic.
Know. Buddy, I know. Nothing I could do. Unless you wanted to hear me.
I felt like you kind of quit.
It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's not Blake's fault.
Go get the shot in the neck and show up.
I think Frostberg got me sick when he was leaving. I took my voice. That's what happened.
Well, that's what happens when you go to ahead of a flight to Jacksonville.
You're going
to
blame me for the Jets season two?
Oh, yeah. Well, all the Jets seasons have been your fault.
Look, if he'd made that eighth field goal, you would have lost.
Yes.
It's all the kicker's fault.
But it was pass interference.
And if the Patriots didn't cheat.
So we have Spygate 2, and we actually have the admission of inappropriate filming from the Patriots for the Bengals sideline.
A stark contrast from statements made earlier today.
No. We had nothing about... Oh, yeah, well, we did. So we will have that story coming up in about 15 minutes.
You're just way too excited about
that. We have Spygate 2 coming your way. The Patriots... We stopped with that. We don't do that. Because we weren't getting anything from that. Oh, and now you have an independent film crew inappropriately filming the Bengals sideline.
Well, in the end, it wasn't helping Jacoby Myers or anybody catch a ball.
That's just so great. It's so great. But the real story of the night... Eli Manning, who now may start for the rest of the season for Daniel Jones, because Daniel Jones may be out the next 2 to 4 weeks. He was in a walking boot over the weekend. So Eli starts tonight for the Giants against the Philadelphia Eagles. And, well, how has Eli Manning's night been so far? Well, I'm not going to tell you. You could just listen.
Manning takes the snap. He's back. Fires one left. Completes it. And then running out of a tackle is Slayton. He's to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants!
Another one.
Manning back to throw. He's going to lob one down the left side. He's got a receiver wide open. It's caught at the 20, to the 15, to the 10, and into the end zone for a touchdown. Yes! Darius Slayton again!
Those were actually highlights from 2008. I don't know if you know that, but that was from 2008.
And rewind. Sometimes everything old is new again, right?
Eli Manning in the first half has accounted for nearly 20 fantasy points. He's also thrown for 179 yards and 2 touchdowns. Darius Slayton, 5 catches for 154 yards and both of those touchdowns, as you heard right now.
Yeah, I liked him in the fantasy this week. I didn't think I'd get
to
that.
Did you really say I liked him in the fantasy?
In the fantasy,
I liked him in the fantasy. With the sport and people, I liked him in the fantasy. I dropped him. I watched my programs.
I dropped him as a guy to watch this week, given the... sieve-like manner of the Eagles' defense. I could not have anticipated 154 yards and two scores before we get a first possession in the second half. I mean, good God, these guys just stopped playing.
Well, everybody asked me advice over the weekend. I said, play Eli. No, play Eli. Play Eli. Play. Start
was,
Eli.
You know what? Eli was,
start
he,
Eli.
Eli was a guy that you would have put on a list of daily plays.
Oh,
as
sure.
A roll
oh,
the
oh
dice.
Daily, absolutely.
Or,
yes.
Or certainly yes. In deeper leagues where you needed a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Because there were a bunch of...
Four quarterback leagues. Yeah.
No, but some of the better quarterbacks or guys that you'd be looking at week to week had pretty bad matchups on paper.
Yeah, but it's tough in the playoffs to go, I'm going to just dust off Eli Manning and put him in my lineup.
No, sure.
Pretend it's 2009.
But for those that wanted to get cute, because as soon as you ask me a question of do I play Drew Brees or this guy, if this guy's got a good matchup, mm-hmm. and Eli would have been one of those guys, like, okay, you asked the question, you opened the door. So if you're doubting Drew Brees enough to say, hey, what do you think of Eli Manning fresh out of mothballs? I'll tell you, it's a great matchup.
This is the best. See, and I know everybody thinks, oh, Jason, this is like a horrible night for you. You're watching Eli Manning let it to Eagles. No, no, I want Eli to throw for 5 touchdowns and 400 yards. Because this will give me a break from the Jets going to Jet, and I can say, Giants going to Giant. Look at this. We got to put Daniel Jones in. We got to sit Eli Manning. And he comes out, and not only does he play so incredibly well, Saquon Barkley is showing signs of life for the first time in weeks. He has had
He's
a horrendous
awful.
Season, and he is getting a pass because of the quarterback situation. Oh, we're going to break in Daniel Jones. We're going to do all this. Look, the Giants stunk last year, and Saquon Barkley had a great year. He has stunk this year.
You know what?
His last 100-yard game was when Eli was starting.
No, I'm going to give him credit, though. About a week ago when he was asked, because everybody he was on the injury report and was missing a little bit of practice time, and everybody was like, how much are injuries, you know, piling up on you and your usage and whatever else. And he goes, no, I've been terrible. Like, he flat out owned it and just said, don't make injuries. Don't write about injuries. Like, I'm getting the ball. I've got to make plays. So I give him credit. Like, a lot of other guys have said, well, you know, you're banged up and quad or knee or whatever. He said, no, I've been bad. And tonight, you got Eli stretching the field a little bit, Slayton getting himself wide open again. The Eagles, for a team that has the opportunity, if they win out, to actually rest the NFC East away from Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, they look like they don't care. Yeah. Carson Wentz is terrible.
Well, we'll get to the Eagles in a second. This
yeah.
is just too much fun because I want the it's so much fun to see the Giants look like the incredibly dysfunctional franchise, the team that really can't make the right move. Look, they're going to fire everybody at the end of the season.
Oh, and there's no question.
The owners
about
already
it.
Talked about it. Steve Tisch talked about it. We have to see where this franchise is going. Dave Gettleman's going to be out. Pat Shurmur's going to be out. And this is just one of those nights where it's like, oh, wow, man, really? I mean, we might not have been 2-10 if Eli had been starting, if we stuck with Eli. Obviously, look, you have to turn the page from Eli Manning. But just for this one game to see it and to see Giants fans go absolutely bat bananas crazy. As a Jet fan, I love it. I want Eli. Five times. Keep throwing. They're up in this game, 35-3 in the fourth quarter. Keep throwing. Get to that 500-yard mark today. You almost threw for 200 in the first half. Just keep throwing.
But I think when it comes down to it, there's Giant fans are also looking at it going, all right, let's send Eli out the right way. Right? If he's going to go out gunning for four games, so be it. And you look at their schedule the rest of the way. Dolphins at home, at Washington, and these same Eagles again in Week 17.
You know,
so Eli could actually finish on a hell of a run here in the final 4 weeks of the season.
If Eli wins out, they would finish 6-10. They could win the tiebreaker with the Cowboys, and the Eagles win the NFC East at 6-10. Go to the playoffs. They beat everybody. They play the Patriots in the Super Bowl because the Patriots, we figured out a way to get everybody's plays again. And then Eli would beat them again.
I like your bizarre
world.
How awesome would that be? If you could pull that off, if you can go into Endgame or Infinity War, somehow rest all the stones away and have some fun with time travel, then perhaps we could steal a game or two along the way. Or perhaps for playing really badly, there now become penalties in the National Football League. You had a chance against a sorry team to win a division title. We're taking away an earlier win. That's it. And for the Eagles, they'd have that. But right now, I want the picture-in-picture of Jerry Jones. How many bottles have they popped watching this first half unfold, going, it's still ours!
And the other thing, too, is I don't know that we need to pay Dak. I could get Eli from the Giants, and he can come in next year and play a little bit of football for us. How'd you like to put a star on your helmet? I mean, that's would you like that, Eli? That'd be great. You know, give you a 3-4 year deal. And, you know, we still have Dak, who can come off the bench if we need to. And we got Eli throwing football. Bring Dez back, too. We'll bring everybody. Was good. We'll get the Beasley kid back. He scored touchdowns against us on Thanksgiving.
Really kind of screwed that one up, didn't they?
We'll get Billy Joe Dupree back. He'll come back. We'll get Robert Newhouse back. We'll get a full house backfield. We'll get Herschel back from the Vikings. And we'll be ready to go. I mean, this would be so... I mean, they can't do it because they lose the tiebreaker with the Cowboys, even with a tie because the Cowboys' division record is perfect.
Right.
But, I mean, so they can't do it. But Eli winning, they get to 6 wins, 6-10 in the playoff. They start winning all their games. It's Eli. That would be the bet. Now, that would be all I would want for Christmas would be that. I wouldn't care about anyone. I would just want to see that happen.
Well, it's funny because you have Eli Manning now, one of the guys auditioning and trying to decide what's next, right? Does he retire a Giant? Does he take backup money to stay there because he loves the Giants and the organization, whatever? Or is he really auditioning for another job? We talk about Ryan Tannehill and what he's done and the report that came out yesterday saying, hey, the Titans are now looking at him not just as a stopgap guy, but potentially as their franchise quarterback. If nothing else, the guy earned himself another 5 years of wearing a ball cap and a clipboard over these last 7 weeks at a pretty high rate. For Eli Manning, if he balls out these last 4 weeks, how many teams are looking going, well, I don't know, there could be some marketing wins here, some sales wins, and maybe a guy that can lead a locker room, because sure as hell that's one thing that has been missing in Dallas. Right, Michael Bennett shows up 2.5 weeks ago. He's the only guy anybody listens to around there. So, yeah, it's just chaos in the NFC East. Fun to see Eli back out there. I think I saw a smile at halftime when the Eagles fans were booing lustily.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
they were booing everybody.
You want to talk about booing on a high level? You're just waiting for someone to dress like Santa Claus and get pelted at this point.
Eli and some other players were walking to the locker room. They were just laughing as they were walking on the field. And this is just so awesome. I can't even tell.
Right, as they're going, they're trying to go to a commercial break, but they're like, you got to hold this for a minute. Hold it for a minute. And they're skipping down the tunnel and they're laughing at what they're hearing out of the field. It's just beautiful.
This is just the best. Really. 5 touchdowns, Eli. Keep throwing. Keep throwing.
How about this for this series? 85-85-2 all time.
Yeah, and Eli Manning's career record as a starting quarterback, 116-116.
There you go.
So these next last 4 games. Can he go to the Hall of Fame with a record under 500?
He's got 2 Super Bowl
Eli.
Wins and own New York.
Oh, I want the Giants to get to 6-10. And I want the Cowboys to somehow be eliminated from the playoffs because of a technicality or cheating. something like that. I really want that. I really want to see the Giants and Eli get to the playoffs. That would just be the best. Giants gonna Giant, yo.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Spygate is back, and this is not going to go well for the New England Patriots. Yesterday, maybe you saw this story surrounding the Browns-Bengals game, in which the Bengals were a little upset because a Patriots video crew was allegedly caught filming the sideline during the Bengals-Browns game. Wait a minute, they're filming the sideline. Isn't that Spygate? Yes, that is Spygate. That's exactly what they were accused and caught doing, and that is surrender money and draft picks, and this is how they built their Super Bowl empire on the backs of, we now know how to intercept signals so we know what plays are being run. This story comes out from ESPN's Diana Rossini, who reports last night that a staffer with the Cincinnati Bengals was in the, I don't want to say they were in the broadcast booth, but they were up in the suites.
Right. In the press box.
They were in the press area.
Press box.
Yeah, they're in the larger press box.
Because you always have the box, but then you've got some seats around.
Right, exactly. They were in the larger press box area. And according to the Patriots, they were filming a web series called Do Your Job, which follows a Patriots employee. And obviously, scouting ahead, hey, we'll play the Bengals next week. That's part of what this person's job was.
Dana Rossini reports that through a Bengal staffer who says, wait a minute, they were shooting this, but I watched, and that cameraman had the camera trained on the Bengal sideline for the entire first quarter. Right after this story breaks, the Patriots talk about it today, and they distance themselves. They say, no, this didn't happen. We have nothing to do with television, the television series. They're all doing their thing. This didn't happen. Here's Bill Belichick saying, no. Come on, we're not going to do that again from earlier today.
Well, evidently, this is our production people on the TV show that were there, and we have absolutely nothing to do with anything that they produce, direct, or shoot, or anything. I've never even seen any of their tapes or anything else. So this is something that we 100% have zero involvement with. This is something that you'd have to talk to the production people about, or what they were doing, or whatever it was.
So was this your advance?
We've never seen anything that they've shot other than what's been on TV.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you want to believe that? Like when Bill Belichick talked about, no, I haven't seen it, doesn't mean somebody else didn't see it, and then give him the information, and it's disseminated. It's called plausible deniability. So this statement comes out. No, we had no reason. And at this point, it was still up in the air whether or not were they really shooting the sideline of the Bengals, or was this just a Bengals employee thought he saw it, and things were very up in the air. We didn't know. The New England Patriots have just released a statement in regards to this story, saying that, quote, in addition to filming the scout, which the series was about, the production crew, without specific knowledge of league rules, inappropriately filmed the field from the press box. The sole purpose of the filming was to provide an illustration of an advanced scout at work on the road. There was no intention of using the footage for any other purpose. Okay, so let's just breathe in for a second and breathe out. Without specific knowledge of league rules, do you really think the Patriots and the Patriots video team, they're doing a story on somebody they don't know? Oh, are we not allowed to film the sideline? Really? We're not allowed to film the sideline? I don't know. That's like hearing people in the government right now going, wait, there was a phone call between Trump and the Ukraine? Wait, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know anything about this. Really? This has come up? This is a story? I don't know anything about this. The Patriots want you to know that the video crew who works for the Patriots, they didn't know that this is a violation of league rules. And for the entire first quarter, had a video camera aimed entirely at the Bengals sideline.
Now, they very specifically say there are some independent contractors in there. They're not team employees, Jason Smith.
Oh, right.
So I know
yes,
what you're getting
yes.
at. The larger scale for me is this. Okay, number one, if you're not changing a million signs from week to week, you're an idiot. Okay, just categorically. Mm-hmm. Forget about the act of filming anything for a moment.
Right, but the thing is with this specifically, number one, you need it to beat the Bengals, really. Boy, you really need Tom Brady to have a big day. But this is about that in the first year, many teams, because things are so new, that signals are repeated. It's a very common thing that between new head coaches, new personnel, so they can get a lot of things down, and they don't change the signals as much because they need uh-huh. to get into a flow for things.
Sure.
So this is something that happens
sure.
throughout the league, which is,
right.
hey, surprise, surprise, the Patriots are filming the Cincinnati Bengals sideline.
It's week 15. You're a bunch of grown-ups. Change your damn signs. Period. I don't care if it was commonplace or if you want to tell me how common it is. It's still, you do it in Little League. You do it with your kids' softball team, for crying
sure.
out loud. She's 10 years old.
Yeah, but it doesn't. They got to know the signs.
But I'm just saying, on principle,
sure.
at any level of coaching, you're changing the signs.
Yeah,
so to tell me that that's some huge competitive advantage, I say you're a bunch of dopes.
Well, you know what? Look, this is the Patriots still who got caught with Spygate. And here they are now, an independent group, an independent television production group that was filming for some reason the Bengals sideline for the entire first quarter. You think this is not getting back to the Patriots? You really think, and I you know, for all I want to say to this, do you really think that the Patriots, who got caught filming everybody's sideline in Spygate, then got caught doing with Deflategate and deflating the footballs, do you really think that's it? That's it. They're stopping. Do you
I just
really
want to say,
think
this
that's
is a
it?
Really damn creative way to do it, though.
Do you really?
We
think,
have a new series.
I mean, do you really think they stopped?
Because episode one was the equipment
like
guy.
Yeah. I mean, did you really think they stopped doing it? And this is a great way to kind of do it in plain sight. Yeah, we follow an employee, and I wonder how many other teams are going to find out. Oh, hey, they have footage of the entire quarter of this other team's sideline that we played earlier this year.
Well, they only did the scout once.
Yeah. Well, but we're shooting the equipment guy. He's on the road. He's in the press box. We got to shoot the other team's sideline.
No, the equipment guy was in his own equipment room.
How desperate, yes. How desperate do you have to beat the Bengals? Like, how desperate is this for Tom Brady to have a good game? How desperate is... Now, is this something that could have been just cooked up now and thrown out? Hey, you know what? Why don't we do this and we're gonna make sure we have plausible deniability and no one is... I'm not exactly ordering anybody to say things, but this is something we want. Because that's how it's done. There's no emails back and forth between Belichick and Ernie Adams and all these other people saying, hey, we got that video of the Jets first quarter. Need it for today. Can you check that down for me? And I mean the illegal one. Get that for me. I mean, really, do you really think that the Patriots stopped doing everything when they got caught? I mean, just realize that.
I'm also assuming the other 31 teams are doing something.
Ooh.
And just nobody cares.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Drew Lock and his day yesterday for the Denver Broncos proved two things. Number one, what do I always say? You never know about a quarterback till you get him on the field. 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. He throws for 3 touchdowns in the first half. He is incredible. Against the Texans, they get out to a 31-3 lead, and they coast to a win from there.
Shows what happens when you've got some receivers that can get open against the Houston Texans defense. It's stark contrast to what we'd seen a week prior, and a quarterback that just is winging it.
And you know what they say. Give John Elway 8 or 12 chances. He'll find that quarterback. Don't worry. He will find that guy.
Finally found his man.
But Drew Lock is now in the point of the latter season pop culture icon like Gardner Minshew was earlier in the year,
sure,
because of the Buzz Lightyear story. Drew Lock has the plays on his arm that kind of his teammates make fun that he kind of looks like Buzz Lightyear from the Toy Story movies when he would type stuff out.
Yeah, the giant wrist guard.
Right, and Locke even played to it pretending to shoot lasers from it after touchdowns yesterday, so the whole Buzz Lightyear thing has become pretty cool.
That's a pretty good celebration.
I gotta say, that's pretty good.
And
I'm shooting lasers
at
you.
And it doesn't take all 11 jackasses to choreograph a dance.
I'm just gonna do this.
It's one guy.
We'll go sailing. No more. So it's become a thing now, Buzz Lightyear and Drew Lock. Unless you are Broncos head coach Vic Fangio, who was asked about this after the game and said, Lightyear, what are you guys talking about?
Sometimes something silly can be a rallying cry for some people. Obviously helps you guys write an article or two, or it gives you something to talk about. But then when you get... not have such a good performance, then I'm sure Buzz Lightyear will be, what's his name? Buzz Lightyear will be made fun of it, you know. So everything has its shelf life.
To infinity and beyond.
That's Drew Lock calling plays in the huddle. He went on to say, I've never seen the Toy Story movies. I don't know who Buzz Lightyear is. Called him Buzz Lightyear. Buzz Lightyear for
okay,
a little bit. Lightyear.
Sure.
I'm sure that's a Twitter handle already. Buzz Lightyear. I can't believe you don't know
he's
who Buzz Lightyear
kids.
Is. Yeah, he's
got
to know who Buzz
61.
Lightyear is.
He's only 61.
He's
got
61,
two kids.
Right? And the movie came out in 94? Toy Story? 95.
Yeah, but every kid has Disney Plus right now. Come
yeah,
on.
So you can get anything
I mean,
you
millions
want.
Upon millions. And as an employee of the NFL, I mean, I'm sure he's found his way into a free...
I mean, there's no way you don't know who Buzz Lightyear. That's like right now, it's like in 1995, not knowing who Buzz Lightyear is right now someone knowing Baby Yoda. What the hell are you talking about? Baby Yoda, I don't understand.
Well, I mean, who? Think about last week, how much guff Billie Eilish got for
yeah, but
not...
she's 17. I get her not knowing
Billie
Van
Eilish.
Oh, Billie Eilish is like, be lucky you don't have a, you're
careful,
not the father of a 10-year-old girl.
I'll tell you what.
You would
the,
know everything about Billie Eilish.
I've seen the stage show.
Here's
it was
a picture
more
of a trash can.
Than most I've seen.
Billie Eilish's songs all sound the same. She's the Stacey Q of 2019.
Who's
yet,
Stacey Q?
Oh, come on. I
need you.
Insecurities,
yeah.
Two of Hearts. Pop
yeah,
Princess.
I've actually seen
all
her
the songs
in,
sound
Billie
the same.
Eilish in concert.
All her songs sound the same.
Yeah.
And
well,
I don't get all this.
Is, though, she dismissed
oh, what a great
Dan,
album
Van Halen.
She's done.
But today was quoted as talking about how she tries to channel Britney Spears, wherever. So you're in the same era. I mean, Van Halen, it might have been Sammy Hagar Van Halen, but it was still alive.
Van Hagar was like early 90s. Like, they were into Gary Cherone by the time you got to 2000.
Who's Gary Cherone?
TJ, it was More Than Words. He was singing Van Halen.
I watched a nice rendition of More Than Words from 2014 with Nuno Bettencourt, the guitar wizardry of, and Steven Tyler singing.
Oh, okay.
That was something different.
Yeah, no, so that I can get. I mean, Britney Spears was like right around 2000. Van Halen was in the 1970s. I mean, they're big. Big album was 1984. What year did it come out? 1984.
Liar.
So that I kind of get. I kind of get that for Billie. I'm not going to get on Billie Eilish for that.
Oh, I mean, I don't really care.
I get on it for songs that all sound the same.
Yeah, but I mean, people can get on all of us now in terms of there's a lot of new artists that if my kids aren't into it, I have no idea.
Yeah, but you have two kids. You're Vic Fit. You know who Buzz Lightyear is.
I'm pretty good. Yeah.
Even if you didn't, well, no, you know who Buzz Lightyear is.
I run deep into the secondary characters, man. Ham is where it's at.
Maybe he didn't make his way flying over the Rockies.
He did. Oh, there goes Buzz. I will go
straight into a mountain.
Oh, whoa, what are you doing there? There's kids
now,
listening.
I haven't seen the last
one. I just gave them a fifth movie. Now Woody's got to save them?
I haven't seen the fourth one yet.
It's like Air Force One, except Woody's got to get on the plane to save Buzz Lightyear. Buzz, you can't fly. No, I can fly out of here. You can't fly.
Should we send him a copy?
I wasn't flying. That was falling with style.
With style.
No way he doesn't know who Buzz Lightyear is.
I'm a football guy, beat.
Yeah, that got to be. I can be irreverent in front of everybody.
Yeah, I've lived my life in football.
I will go.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline. He has just finished 800 words on Syracuse's 50-point win over Georgia Tech on Saturday.
Nobody cares.
Eli Manning is rolling on a Monday night. We have Spygate. Jason Lockenfour, where were you in 2007?
In 2007, I was at the Washington Post covering the Washington Redskins. And
oh, I'm sorry about that. That must
done
have
a little
I'm
bit. And well, I was trying to think what other assignments I had. I covered the 2006 World Cup in Germany, which was, I have to say, probably the greatest assignment in my life. We were still living in Northern Virginia at the time. We're not yet back in Baltimore. What else do you want to know? I'll give you the whole lowdown now that it's all starting to come back to me.
Well, what was your favorite beer in Germany? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, there were many. That was like a 25-way tie. It just depended on what region I was in. If I was in Munich, it might be, you know, Paulaner. If I happened to be in Berlin, it might be something else. Yeah.
How many David Hasselhoff albums did you bring back?
None. But I did see the occasional billboard for the Hoff. And he definitely is big in Germany. He is. And I guess probably Japan, too. I think I've heard that.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
well, that's where people go.
That, like, he's kind of huge in Japan.
Yeah. Let's like Madonna. When you can't do it in the United States anymore, you go to Europe because they're just listening to your albums for the first time. And, hey, look at this. I got my second career.
Or like your Cheap Trick, right? And you go to Budokan when you're like not selling in the States, and then everybody in the States realize like how amazing you are, and they're like, yeah, you want us to want you, and we want you to want us, and the whole nine yards.
Wow, you got a Cheap Trick reference in. That's pretty good.
I love Cheap Trick. I love Cheap Trick.
Okay,
first three albums are amazing.
All right, so Robin Zander is fine. No, so yeah. Spygate 2. Let's start with Spygate 2. The Patriots admit.
Wow,
tonight,
it already has a name. Have you granted it that, or is that like already somebody, you know, has the trademark on that, or
I don't know. I'm just calling it that because that seems like the pretty easiest way to let people know that the Patriots were caught illegally videotaping the sideline of the Bengals on Sunday. They say
week 14, a team that has one win.
They really want Brady to get off the schneid this week.
Oh my God.
They really want that. I mean, how big a deal is this? We had the Patriots deny their involvement, but this is supposedly an independent
broadcast.
They denied
it, and then they admitted it.
And then they said, they shot video of the entire sideline of the Bengals in the first quarter.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. It's not supposed to happen. Everybody knows it's not supposed to happen. I get that they're saying, well, this was a Robert Kraft in-house production. That was not our actual video team. Well, I mean, I guess on some level that's refreshing, right? Like that they didn't, like, send the guys who shoot the game for them on the sidelines right up to the press box in freaking Cleveland to steal the signs of their opponent the following week. I don't know, guys. I think it's pretty bad. I mean, I haven't had a chance, like, you know, this all kind of came down tonight. And I'm not going to lie to you and say I talked to, like, 15 people from different teams to get their sense on it. And I didn't have an outpouring of people, you know, sending me, you know, getting random calls or texts to kind of try to, like, express their views and put it in perspective for me. But it's kind of pathetic, right? Like, I don't care who was doing what under whose auspices and, oh, well, we had some freelancers and they were there too. Like, come on, man. You don't get that sort of benefit of the doubt when you're the New England Patriots and it comes to skirting the rules and outright cheating. It's so desperate, but is it not sort of their brand? You know what I mean? Like, as much as we'll sit here and say, well, why the hell would you do that when you're the Patriots and they're 1-11? But it does kind of seem like that's exactly what they would do. So I don't know, man. I just wish there was a week. I did my job and there wasn't some completely bonkers story. You know what I mean? Whether it was the T-shirt that Freddie Kitchens wore, or 2 weeks before that, the beanie hat that Freddie Kitchens' owner wore. I guess it's good for business, and I do think it does keep some people, like, interested on a soap opera kind of, like, reality TV level. But I can't figure this league out. I just never will. I don't know where so many people are coming from. It's bonkers.
You know, when I look at this story, I think my favorite part is that when the Patriots released a statement saying that, yes, we inappropriately filmed the field from the press box, it says the production crew, without specific knowledge of league rules.
Of course.
I mean, really? Without specific? That's like...
Right. Well, but if you get credentialed, you have to know the league rules.
Well, you got to know what the... Hey, what's the most important thing we do here? Yeah, don't tape the other sideline. We kind of got in trouble for it a few years ago.
Hey,
oh,
the referees don't know the rules of the game, for crying out loud.
We got a little bit of a reputation here. Like, you might want to make sure we're totally above board, right? Like, oh my God, it's like the truth is greater than fiction, right? Like, it's almost like the Bengals. Really?
They need Tom. They need Tom
Who
Brady to have a big week.
Ever be worried,
Jason,
about the Bengals sideline? Like, Andy Dalton's not worried about the Bengals sideline. AJ Green hasn't been on the Bengals sideline since he tore his freaking ankle in Dayton in July. Like, I mean, what are we talking about? Like, what is going on? I will say this, though. I do think we'll probably be talking about this for a while. And I'm sure my guess is by 5 p.m. Friday, the NFL has fined them or docked them a draft pick or done whatever they're going to do. But this does strike me as way beyond the pale.
Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here from the Geico Studios on the hotline with us. It's Jason Lockenfora. You can find him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. He's our CBS NFL insider, trying to wrap his head around this just like the rest of us as more information makes itself available. And really, we just talked more about the Bengals in the last minute and a half than we have probably all season long, save the absence of AJ Green. But moving out from that, we're watching the start of overtime. The Eagles just don't want to take what the Cowboys keep giving them, do they?
No, they don't. This whole division is sort of human carnage. I mean, it's tough to watch when these teams play. It's real tough to watch when these teams play each other. And when they play teams outside the division, I believe they're 10-27. So, yeah, the fact that no one in the NFC East has been able to take a stranglehold on this division, when you look at the fact that everybody else is horrible, it kind of drives, you know, home the point even more of just how ludicrous this is. And in a year where the NFC is really legit and really tough, and you're watching teams like Seattle and San Francisco, who definitely have the ability to win a Super Bowl, go from the one seed to the five seed based on one touchdown pass here or there, and yet either Philadelphia or Dallas is going to host an NFC playoff game, at least one. Yeah, that's kind of staggering. And I know there's some people out there who will say, well, remember the year that, you know, Seattle shouldn't have got in, and then Marshawn Lynch had the Skittles run, and, you know, it was a seismic event, and
yeah,
it felt like
run.
An earthquake,
yeah,
and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and I'm like, well, I can think of 15 years where crappy teams hosted playoff games who just shouldn't have. You know, at least three or four times they were called the Cincinnati Bengals. So, you know, I don't know, man. Like, I guess maybe. But I also think, especially this particular year, where that particular conference is so deep and so good, and now with the Rams suddenly, you know, after getting their butts kicked by the Ravens, bouncing back and looking legit, there's going to be a couple of teams that missed the playoffs in the NFC that I think most of America would say are much better than whoever wins the NFC East.
Hey, Jay, lastly, out of the NFC East for a second, we saw Jay Glazer's report this weekend and that Odell Beckham Jr. unhappy with the Browns, telling coaches and players during games, come get me. Freddie Kitchens said today they're not going to sit him, even though he's banged up, because there's a question whether or not how badly they're handling his injury. What are you hearing about Odell and the Browns?
Yeah, I do think this is going to come to a head in the spring. Some of it will depend on, is Freddie Kitchens still in charge, or is he in charge but neutered? What else is going on there? That team is, I mean, we talk about drama and, you know, the league at large and how there's always something going on. Unfortunately, more often than not, it involves the Browns, and can they stay out of their own way? And, you know, I don't know, but do I think OBJ is long for Cleveland? Do I think he'll spend, you know, 3 to 5 years in Cleveland? I don't. Do they have to trade him this offseason? No. But I wouldn't be shocked if they did. And if they don't trade him this offseason, then they probably will the one after that. And you know what? Going back to the league meetings in the spring, and I didn't know Freddie Kitchens really before, at all before last year, and I really didn't start talking to him to any degree until the owners' meetings, and then going around for OTAs, and then going back around for you know, training camp, and I kind of bought it, but shame on me, you know, like they just can't sort of come up with a level of decorum and leadership and standards that apply. And you know what? It goes above his head. When you know, one of the owners, D. Haslam, the week that, you know, Myles Garrett gets suspended for the rest of the year, wears a beanie with Myles Garrett's name and number on it. You know what? That sends a message, you know? And so when that's where she's coming from, then Freddie Kitchens is like, well, hold my beer. I'm going to wear a T-shirt that's even crazier than that. And then Baker Mayfield's like, both of you hold your beers. I'm coming in with a shot of Johnny Walker, and we're going to start ripping the training staff, even though I don't really know. I've never seen one any of Odell's MRIs, and I really don't know what the hell is going on here. But, yeah, people are saying Odell should have got surgery. Sure, he should have got surgery. Our trainers are hacks. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, but that's like, we're like, it's diminishing returns, you know? So I don't know, man. So do I think Odell's long for there? Probably not. And is he part of the problem? I guess. But he's also sort of endemic of their warped culture.
And then there's Jason Lockenfour over the top of the bunch of Lowenbrow saying, hold this while I get ready. You can follow
you
him on Twitter.
Lowenbrow.
Yeah, well, because
that's got to go back to the cheap trick era.
Tonight, let it be Lowenbrow.
That's right.
You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfour. That is at Jason Lockenfour. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate it. Enjoy the look back in time to 2007.
No, it's beautiful. I'm watching this overtime game and thinking back to 1977. It's great.
All right.